Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 11. Chapter entitled Summary Description of the Mahapurush. Text number 1 onwards. Shishunaka uvacha.
Shishunaka uvacha.
Ate mam artam prichchamo.
Ate mam artam prichchamo.
Bhavantam bahuvittamam.
Bhavantam bahuvittamam.
Samasta tantra radante.
Samasta tantra radante.
Bhavan bhagavata tatvavit.
Bhavan bhagavata tatvavit.
Shishonaka uvarcha.
Shishonaka uvarcha.
Shishonaka se.
Shishonaka
se. Atta.
Atta.
Now.
Now.
Imam.
Imam.
This.
This.
Artam.
Artam.
Matter.
Yes.
Prichchama.
Prichchama.
We are inquiring about.
Bhavantam.
From you.
Bahuvittamam.
The possessor of the broadest knowledge.
Samasta.
Of all.
Tantra.
The scriptures prescribing practical methods of worship. Radha ante. In the definitive conclusions. Bhavan. You. Bhagavat. O great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Tatvavit. The knower of the essential facts. Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srishonaka said, O Sutta, you are the best of learned men and a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore we now inquire from you about the definitive conclusion of all Tantra scriptures. Translation responsibly. Sri Shonaka said.
Shri
Shonaka
said.
O Sutta. You are the best of learned men. And a great devotee of the Supreme Lord.
Therefore we now inquire from you.
About the definitive conclusion.
Of all Tantra scriptures.
Text 2 and 3. All good fortune to you. Please explain to us, who are very eager to learn, the process of Kriya Yoga, practiced through regulative worship of the Transcendental Lord, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Please also explain how the Lord's devotees conceive of his limbs, associates, weapons, and ornaments in terms of particular material representations by expertly worshipping the Supreme Lord. A mortal can attain immortality. Hold on. Sudha Goswami said, offering obeisances to my spiritual masters, I shall repeat to you the description of the opulences of Lord Vishnu given in the Vedas and Tantras by great authorities, beginning from lotus-born Brahma. Text 5. The universal form Virat of the Supreme, of the Personality of Godhead, includes the 9 basic elements of creation, starting with the unmanifest nature, and their subsequent transformations. Once this universal form is instilled with consciousness, the 3 planetary systems become visible within it. Purport. The nine basic elements of creation are Prakriti, Sutra, Mahatattva, false ego, and the five subtle perceptions. The transformations are the 11 senses and the five gross material elements.
Omagyan timarandasya kinandina shalakaya chakshirinmulitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare.
So it is discussed within the Vaishnava literature and in Prabhupada's books. He describes there are two parallel tracks that we follow on the path of spiritual advancement or devotional service leading to Krishna consciousness. What are the two parallel tracks which we follow? One is good. Bhagavad Vidhi Marg and Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg. So Srila Prabhupada explains these are like two parallel tracks on the path of devotional service to develop our Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Vidhi Marg means the path of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, absorbing oneself in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then there is the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg. Generally, this means the path of deity worship, or worshipping the Lord according to regulative principles. Now, Prabhupada explains in the very beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, that the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. In other words, it's the Bhagavat Vidhi Marg, or the path of practicing, hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the process of how to become fully Krishna conscious in this world. So, Prabhupada explains that this path is sufficient in itself to take one back to Godhead. One can just hear and chant about Krishna. One can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. One can engage in Harinam Sankirtan. And that is sufficient to purify the consciousness and to take one back home, back to Godhead. So the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg is actually fully sufficient. However, it is then explained, then what is the necessity of deity worship? So it is explained that the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg is a parallel track which is there, just like Prabhupada gives the simple example. Just like you have a train track, and the train needs to run on two tracks in order for it to run properly. And these are parallel tracks. Without one track or without the other, if there's a deviation in one of the tracks, then the train will derail. It cannot follow its proper path. So in order for us to advance in Krishna consciousness, it is explained we need both tracks simultaneously. We need to perform deity worship alongside of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now, what is the necessity of performing deity worship? Prabhupada explains, for the conditioned soul, it is necessary to perform deity worship because we are attached to matter at this point in time. Our consciousness is absorbed in matter because we've been in the material world since time immemorial. Practically uncountable births we've been in the material world. And because of being in this foreign atmosphere for such a long time, we've become too attached to the material energy through the medium of ahankara. Ahankara means a false ego. In other words, what is ahankara? As defined by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishwaraham, Ahambogi, and Siddoham, and Balavan, Suki. I am Ishwara, and I am Bogi. This is our false ego consciousness in this material world. I am the controller, and I am the enjoyer. And that is what keeps us within the material world, lifetime after lifetime, this consciousness. So we've had this consciousness for such a long time, it is very difficult, even as sadhakas, even as practicing devotees, to give up this type of consciousness. Even after we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for many decades, for a long, long time, but still, it is very difficult for us to give up this type of consciousness, of thinking that we are the controller, of thinking that we are the enjoyer. The desire for vishaya, or sense enjoyment, is very strong within the consciousness of the living entity. And it takes a great deal of tapasya, or purification, in order for us to give up this spirit of sense enjoyment and to ultimately go back to the spiritual world. So, the purpose of deity worship is to purify the consciousness. So the consciousness will become pure and our attachment to material form will gradually be transformed to spiritual form. Because it is the nature of the living entity to be attached to form. That's why Prabhupada is so heavy and so strong in his purports about attacking Mayavad philosophy, attacking impersonalistic philosophy, because it's not natural for the soul. You can say that everything is one, and in the ultimate reality everything is one. In the ultimate reality all of us will be one, we will merge into an impersonal state of consciousness, right? But then, if that is true, then why is everyone so absorbed in form in this world? You know, if everything is ultimately impersonal, why is it that we're so attached to form and it's so difficult to detach ourselves from form? Practically, form is all that pervades our consciousness, right? If you examine your thoughts, practically you're always thinking of some form. Right? There's always something in your consciousness which you're absorbed in. And then you're supposed to completely detach yourself from all form and become impersonal. Right? Or nirvisesh. Visesh means form. Nirvisesh means formless. So we're meant to become detached from form, but practically it's not possible. Practically. I mean, it can be done with a great amount of tapasya, but it's not natural for the soul. So, in order to purify our consciousness, Krishna appears in the Srimurti, or the Archavigraha, to accept our worship and to begin to transform our attachment to material form back to spiritual form. So Prabhupada explains the Archavigraha is not a material form. It is not material. We may think that Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra are carved from wood. We think that Radha Vallabha are carved from stone. We think that Gaurinitai are carved from metal. But factually speaking, the Lord themselves and the Lord's eternal associates have entered into and accepted that form, and it has become spiritualized. And according to one's bhakti, premanjanaj charita bhakti galochanena, according to one's vision or one's purification, one will perceive Krishna within that form and Krishna's associates within that form. So we need to worship the form of the deity while we are chanting. Because even though Prabhupada explains that it is possible to fully purify one's consciousness by hearing and chanting, by following the Bhagavad Marg. But generally we find that many of us, while chanting, our consciousness does not simply fall on the sound vibration of the holy name or of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Does anyone experience that sometimes your mind wanders onto material form while you're chanting? Does it happen to you sometimes? How many times does it happen in one round? How many times does it happen on one bead? constantly the mind is shifting. It's explained in the Madhurya Kadambini by Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. Up until the stage of Ruchi, in the nine levels of devotional service, from Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajanakriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and then Prema. He describes that up until the level of Ruchi, sometimes, this is when we get to Ruchi, this is a very high level of devotional service beyond where we are at this point in time. But he says that in Ruchi, sometimes, while the devotee is chanting and hearing about Krishna, sometimes, without him noticing, the mind slips to a material thought. So it is what takes place while we're practicing our sadhana on the beginning levels. Even on the higher levels it takes place. But then he describes that on the level of asakti, you become so attached to Krishna that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that the devotee, even while dealing in this world, sometimes he doesn't notice that his mind slips away and starts thinking of Krishna. Even when he's engaged in activities in this world, his mind just slips away and suddenly he's thinking about Krishna. He's thinking, oh, he didn't even notice that his mind just naturally becomes attracted to Krishna. This is asakti, or attachment, firm attachment. So, it is part of our conditioned nature that our mind will continuously move away from material thoughts, from Krishna consciousness or spiritual thoughts. It will go to material thoughts and it will dwell on matter. So therefore, in order to purify the subtle body, we're given the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg simultaneously to be practiced alongside hearing and chanting about Krishna. Which means that we engage in deity worship. And by engaging in deity worship, what takes place? Our mind begins to meditate upon the form of Krishna, the spiritual form of Krishna, the form of the deity. The form of Krishna and Krishna's associates, Gaura Nitai, Radha Krishna, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, Nisringadev, Giri Govardhan, different forms of Krishna. So the mind begins to meditate on this form, and this purifies the subtle body. So that when we later, after doing our deity worship, when we engage in hearing and chanting, when we engage in chanting the holy name or hearing the Bhagavatam, our mind, being purified by contact with that form, more easily sits on the holy name, or rests in the holy name, or meditates on the sound vibration of the holy name. That is why it is necessary for neophyte devotees to perform deity worship. So Prabhupada, his program was that all of us, most of us, we aspire to become second initiated devotees, which means we take Brahman initiation and we engage in deity worship, so that we can directly serve the Lord. Because by directly serving the Lord, it helps to purify the subtle body. Now before we begin our deity worship, we perform what is called Bhuta Shuddhi. What does Bhuta Shuddhi mean?
Purification.
Shuddhi means Shuddha. Shuddha means purification, pure. Shuddhi, Bhuta Shuddhi means to purify the subtle body. It means before we begin to perform the deity worship, we have to chant certain mantras. And these mantras, they fix us, by meditation on these mantras, they fix us on meditation on our spiritual form. In other words, while you're worshipping the deity, you don't worship the deity with this form, ideally. We're meant to worship Krishna with our spiritual form. So we're meant to meditate while we're worshipping the deity that I am Krishna's eternal servant. So before worshipping Gaura Nitai, we chant mantras. Because before we approach Radha Krishna, we must first approach Gaura Nitai. That is the system of purification, particularly in Kali Yuga. So you'll see in the temples, then Prabhupada establishes, our first darshan is Gaura Nitai. First we approach, we enter the temple, we approach Srila Prabhupada. We approach the Guru, alright, Param Guru. Then we approach Guru and Gauranga. Right? From approaching Guru and Gauranga, then we approach Radha Krishna, and then finally we may approach Jagannath Balaram Subhadra or whoever the particular deities. But always the system is that we first approach Gaur Nithai. So when we begin our deity worship, before we begin worshipping Gaur Nithai, we chant certain mantras. One of the mantras that we chant establishes our mind in meditating upon the form of the spiritual master in his eternal form or his eternal pastime and service to Gaur Nithai in Navadvip Dham. So this is Bhuta Shuddhi. You begin to worship the spiritual master. Before you approach the deity, you meditate on the spiritual master. And you meditate that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. I am the assistant of the spiritual master. Actually, it is the spiritual master who is performing the worship. And we are the assistant of the guru while he is performing the worship. That is the meditation. And we meditate upon the guru being freshly decorated with fresh tilak, with chandan, offered flowers in fresh cloth and effulgent in his eternal spiritual form as an associate of Gaur Nithai in Navadvip Dham. And in this way we purify our consciousness before we begin the physical worship. So this is the program, this is the system. Before we begin the worship of the deity, we must first purify the consciousness. We meditate in our spiritual form. Then, on a practical level, when we begin to chant the holy name, when we chant our rounds, or when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, our subtle body is purified. And it is easier for us to meditate on the sound vibration of the holy name, being purified in our consciousness. I know for myself that I did not do deity worship on a regular basis. I used to worship the deities once a week in the temple or something like that. Over a period of time, for many years, when I became a devotee. And then, by some arrangement of Krishna, then I was given a shila, a Govardhan shila, to worship on a daily basis. And I experienced that by worshipping the shila, by worshipping the deity form on a daily basis, it helps to purify the consciousness. And it makes it far easier to then hear and chant about Krishna. Because what holds us back the most when we're hearing and chanting, when we're chanting our rounds, is material consciousness. Right? Anattas or avidya. This is described by Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani. Right? And he says the cartels have to go. They can't be left on the ground. He describes the clouds of anattas, the mist of ignorance. This is what affects our consciousness in the material world. Our consciousness is affected by material identification. And because of this material identification, whenever we chant about Krishna, it is very difficult to fix the mind. Very difficult for the mind to stay absorbed in the transcendental sound vibration. And we struggle with our mind continuously while we're chanting. So I personally experienced when we began to worship the deity on a regular basis, it became much easier to chant the holy name because the consciousness becomes purified. That is the system. Therefore, one has to follow the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg along with the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg along with the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg while one is in the conditioned state of consciousness. When one is on a very advanced state of consciousness, one could then absorb oneself completely in the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg, and that could be sufficient. But even still, you'll see that self-realized personalities, our acharyas, the Goswamis, and so forth, that when they, even on the platform of Siddha, or Siddha Rupena, when they're on the perfectly liberated platform, still they engage in deity worship. And all of them establish deities. You see in Vrindavan, we have the main temples of the Goswamis, and their deities are present in the original form or in the Pratibhu form, in the identical form of the original deity. But either way, the temples were established, and they were all absorbed in worship of the deity. Because even when the devotee gets to the perfect level, he still desires, or he perfectly desires to serve the Lord's form. So he becomes attached to performing deity worship. But the mood in worshipping the deity is a little different. It is the mood of worshipping the deity in complete love, praying, or we could say on the platform of rag. Rag means spontaneous attachment, fully attached to the deity, not worshipping the deity out of any rule or out of fear that if we do not worship the deity, something will happen to us negatively, but simply worshipping the deity out of a desire to please the Lord. So this is how the Acharyas worship their deities. Just like we see in the pastime of Sanatan Goswami, who was an extremely renounced Goswami, the most renounced personality living in Vrindavan, and then he received the deity of Madan Mohan. And he used to worship the deity, but because he was a Goswami, because he was like a Babaji, because he was living so simply in Vrindavan, then he would just keep the deity in the tree. There wasn't even a temple, right? Because he used to sleep under a tree, so he would just keep the deity in the tree. Like that. And then he would make some offering for the deity. He was very, very simple in his own relationship with his material world. So then he would only take some flour, which was mixed with some water. He'd maybe get some water from the Jamuna, get some flour, and he'd roll it into balls and put the balls into the fire and just cook some flour, wheat-like balls, yeah, like a damper kind of thing, like these balls. And then he would offer them to the deity. And then he would take the prasada. So after some time, Madan Mohan said to him, the deity said to him, would it be possible if you could add some salt to the offering? Because it's a little bland, it's a little little tasteless, like that. And Sanatan, who was quite elderly at the time, and extremely fixed in his renunciation, he said to the deity, he said, please just be satisfied with this offering. He said, please just accept it. He says, because I'm a little old now and I'm absorbed in renunciation, and I'll get you some salt, but then tomorrow you'll want milk, and then you'll want sugar, and then you'll want vegetables, and then he said, please just be satisfied. So this was the level of exchange between the deity and the devotee. So the devotee, even on the perfect level, he's absorbed in deity worship. He's absorbed in worshipping the Lord, but it's not based upon rule, not because we have to. Sometimes, as neophyte devotees, we're in this consciousness, I have to worship the deity. I have to cook my offering. I have to dress the deities. I have to make the garments. But this is a lower level of bhakti. It is called sadhana bhakti. It's practicing. It is based on viti or vaiti. It is based on rule and regulation. It is based on fear. If I do not do it, something negative will happen to me. So that is the beginning of devotional service for the conditioned soul, following sadhana or vaiti sadhana bhakti. But if we maintain only practicing devotional service on that level, it will not be possible for us to maintain our enthusiasm for years and years and years on end as a devotee. You can worship the deity like that in the beginning, or you can perform devotional service like that in the beginning, but it won't sustain you long term as a devotee. Long term as a devotee, you need to move more into the realm of, or you need to cultivate rag bhakti, which Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And when Prabhupada writes his summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, in chapters 15 and 16 of the first section of the Nectar of Devotion, the chapter 15 and 16, they discuss rag anuga bhakti. Right? So this is a spontaneous practice of devotional service. This is covered in our law book on devotional service. Srila Prabhupada said Nectar of Devotion is the law book for ISKCON. So it is expected that the devotees will gradually in their worship of the deity and in their chanting of the holy name and in their performance of devotional service will cultivate a mood of rag in their bhakti, in their devotion, which is called rag anuga bhakti, or a mood of spontaneity or a mood of affection when worshipping the deity, when chanting the holy name. It is not expected that the devotees will just do their deity worship or do their service out of obligation or out of fear. It is expected that we will do it gradually out of affection and out of desire to please the Lord. That will be the main motivation in the service. Now, from the very beginning of our movement, because we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because we're following the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because Srila Prabhupada was the empowered representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right from the very beginning of Prabhupada establishing ISKCON, our practice of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti was mixed with Rag Bhakti. It's been there from the very beginning. It's there every day in our devotional service, and it is the actual goal of our devotional service. Rag Atmika devotion, or pure devotion to Krishna, based on spontaneous love, as the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. From the very beginning of our movement, Srila Prabhupada gave us Tulsi Puja. Right? Every morning in ISKCON, all over the world, we perform Tulsi Puja. We worship Srimati Tulsi Devi, who, in the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, is a gopi whose name is Vrinda Devi. Now, if you look at the prayer which Prabhupada gave us from the very beginning of the movement, right? Namo Namaha, Tulasi Krishna, Priyasi Namo Namaha. Yetomara, Sharanaloi, Taravansha, Purnahoi. If you look at the prayer which Prabhupada has given us from the very beginning, it is a prayer of spontaneous love for Krishna. It is not a prayer of Vaidhi, Bhakti. It is not based on rules and regulations. It is based on natural love for Radha and Krishna. So this is what we're meant to meditate upon. Every morning, when you're finished Mangalati and you begin Tulsi Puja, when you're singing this prayer, you're meant to meditate on the actual meaning of the prayer. O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the worship of Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him eternal resident of Vrindavan Dham. My desire is that you also grant me residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I beg you to make me a follower of the cowherd damsels of Braj. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maidservant. This very fallen and lonely servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Sri Radha and Govinda. Right? So this is an advanced prayer. This is an advanced state of consciousness. But Prabhupada expected us to meditate on the meaning of this prayer while we're performing the Tulsi Puja, and pray to Tulsi Devi in this mood that we would like to develop a deeper level of devotion in our Krishna consciousness. We would like to worship Radha and Krishna just for their pleasure. We would like to serve Gaur Nitai just for their pleasure. We'd like to serve Jagannath Balaram Subhadra and Giri Raj and Nisringadev just for their pleasure. So gradually, as time goes by in our devotional service, we're meant to cultivate this mood in our devotion, in our bhakti. Not that it remains simply based on awe and reverence and fear forever and ever and ever, but it's meant to become based on spontaneity. So then, one serves the deity, and Prabhupada explains, on the mood of rag bhakti, one is always thinking of how to serve the deity more nicely. How can I make nicer garlands for the deities? How can I cook a nicer offering for the deities? How can I sing nicely in the kirtan for the pleasure of the deities? How can I perform the aarti, meditating on the pleasure of the deities? Just like when we perform the aarti, this is part of our sadhana, is to perform the aarti, like we do Mangal aarti and different aartis during the day. Then first we offer the incense. So why are we offering incense to the deity? Why do we offer the incense? Yeah, because we're meditating. For example, if you're doing the aarti for Radha Vallabha or Gaur-Nitai, you're meditating. Radha and Krishna are here, right? According to the time of the day, they're in a particular place in Vrindavan, right? Just like right now, it's 8:30 in the morning. So Krishna is just finishing breakfast in Nandagram, and he's just about to leave to go out into the pastures, cow herding pastime. So there's just right at the change of the two pastimes, when Krishna is finishing his breakfast pastimes in Nandagram, just about to go out. So if you're doing deity worship now, then you begin to meditate on that time of the day, that time frame in the Ashtakaliya Lila, and you begin to meditate, what is Krishna doing now? What is his pastime? And I'm serving him now. I'm trying to assist his servants in this pastime. So you're doing the aarti, and you're thinking while you're doing, say you're doing the Rajbhog aarti, which is in the middle of the day. Radha and Krishna are at Radha Kund at that time, enjoying their pastimes. So then you can meditate, I'm lighting the incense for their pleasure. They're performing their pastimes here. Let there be some auspicious fragrance, which is here. And then we offer the lamp, right? And why do we offer the lamp? Because back in the old days, or in Goloka Vrindavan, there is no electricity. Right? Here, when we go to wake the deities in the morning, we just turn on the switch and then everything illuminates like that. But it's not like that in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is self-illuminated. There are different gems in the pastimes and the pastime places, the lilasthans of Krishna. When Krishna goes into different caves, or when Krishna has these different, you can say like mandaps, like little pastime places, then there are jewels encrusted into the pillars of those places, and they naturally give off illumination. So there's natural light which is there. But still, when the devotee is offering the lamp, the devotee is thinking, I am lighting the various lamps around the place so that they can have some light, so they can enjoy their pastimes. And then we offer the water. So we're thinking, I've gone to collect some water. Prabhupada actually mentions this. He says a devotee can meditate in his mind. He has gone to the Jamuna with a golden pot, and he has collected Jamuna water, and now he's bringing that water back to offer to their lordship so that they can bathe, so that they can refresh themselves. And then we offer the cloth, the handkerchief. It is said that the best type of cloth that we can offer is white silk cloth. It is mentioned by Sanatana Goswami that the best type of cloth that we offer is white. So when they have finished their bathing, then we offer them fresh cloth. Because in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna and Gaur and Nitai, they never wear the same clothes twice. After they undress and they take bath and then they redress again, then they always put on fresh clothes, which have been freshly offered for the first time. So we meditate, we're offering them some fresh cloth. And then we offer the flowers. So then we do seven circles, or in this temple we do four circles at the feet, as Prabhupada taught us, or seven circles around the body is the common system. So then we meditate, we're offering garlands, beautiful garlands, seven garlands for Krishna's pleasure. And then we offer the chamara and the peacock fan. Chamara is to keep the mosquitoes away, or the flies away, or the insects away. And the fan is to cool them, to give some beautiful breeze. So you can meditate like this. So we're expected that when we do our deity worship, that we enter a deeper level of consciousness. Then, if you are worshipping the deity like this, over time, if you gradually cultivate this type of consciousness, then your chanting of the holy name and your hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam will become enlivened. It will become so much more relishful and so much more easy to perform and more satisfying. Otherwise, you'll be practicing devotional service for years and years and years, and you won't develop any taste for the holy name, which sometimes you hear devotees say. Devotees say, I've been practicing for years and I still don't have any taste for chanting. The reason we don't have a taste for chanting is because we're not cultivating the process which has been given to us. It's an internal process of cultivation, which is taught to us by Srila Rupa Goswami and the other followers. So these two paths are there within the system of devotional service. We're given the Bhagavat Vidhi Marg, the Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg, and actually those two paths, when done properly and running parallel, they will lead us to become perfectly Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada says that the most fortunate person in this world is the Prajari of the deity. Because all of the services the Prajari does for the deity are the eternal Nitya Seva, which are performed in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world for the deity. So by following this process, or following these two marks, it gradually will purify our consciousness, and this will lead us to perfection. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed.
So is it true when we're doing it properly here, we're also in Vrindavan here when we're doing it? Is that the mood that we're meant to be in?
Yeah, that's the mood. The mood is that when you're worshipping Gaunitai, you meditate that you're in Mayapur, Navadvipa. When you worship Radha Vallabha, then you meditate you're in Vrindavan. And when you worship Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, then you meditate you're in Kurukshetra or in Dwarka, which are places where Krishna is feeling separation from Vrindavan.
And also, this spontaneous love, you said you need to feel that when you're here actually doing the process here, but what about spontaneous love when you wake up, you're automatically thinking, what can I take down to the deity to present a flower or some present, rather than just arriving at the temple and taking the flowers that are already here, which is no bother, you just go through motions, but you're not actually in that mood. So from the moment you wake up, you should be thinking, oh, I'm going to see my beloved deity again, and I'll take a present from Krishna to Radha, and I'll bring them to the proper path. So this is the proper mood, yeah?
Yeah, Prabhupada says that is spontaneous service. Prabhupada said when you wake in the morning, that should be your first thought. How can I serve the deity? So that is spontaneous service. Rupa Goswami says you should not come before the deity without a gift. And in the early days of ISKCON, very early days, in 68 and so forth, in Haridashpuri, you read in the Leelamrita, the devotees would keep a big pot of grains of rice near the front door of the temple. And when the devotees would come into the temple, they would pick up a handful of rice and they would come and they'd offer that in front of the altar to the deities from the very beginning of our movement, because it was an injunction. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, should not come empty handed to the deity. Any other question or comment?
Sometimes when you're talking to people, they are talking about deity worship, and we can just pick up any stone and any wood from anywhere and start worshipping. So does that mean, God has entered into it?
I don't understand.
But sometimes when you're speaking with people, they will ask you about deity worship, why deity worship, and they say, does that mean that you pick up any stone and start worshipping it, or you will start worshipping it? So does that mean God has entered into it?
No. No, because the Lord must be invited into that form, and the Lord will only enter into that form if he's invited by his devotee. So who invited Gaunitai to appear here? Prabhupada. Who invited Radha Vallabha to appear? Prabhupada. And who invited Jagannath Balaram Subhadra to appear? Right. The first time they came was in front of Prabhupada, right, at the Ratha Yatra, like that. So this is the system. They must be invited by the Lord's representative, and then they accept the form. They will not accept the form from someone who's not a devotee. Yeah, like that. It's the system. There has to be a system of deity worship. The system is described. It's authorized. Yeah? Part of being a devotee means you follow the system. That's what it means to be a devotee, because we are not authorized. So you have to follow authority. This is how the worship that we offer to Krishna becomes accepted, when we follow it authoritatively. Just like many years ago, maybe 15 years ago or so, then people always bring presents for the deities. So one time someone left a box in front of the deities. So the Pujaris took the box, took it into the paraphernalia room, and then they opened up the box, and it was a box of cigars. So, in the material world, when you are giving someone a good gift, then that's considered a good gift. That's considered high class in the material world, in this day and age. So whoever that was, they thought, well, I'm offering Krishna something very good, right? But it was not done under authority, because it is not authorized. No acharya says that Krishna will accept it. Krishna does not accept it. Krishna is not interested in it. It's tamasic. The deity can only be worshipped with those things which are in Shuddhasattva, or in this world in Sattva Guna. It must be in goodness at least, actually in pure goodness, that is the actual system. So, there must be authority, you must be following authority. So we only worship Krishna according to what we're taught by our authorities. The Goswamis have given a very elaborate description, intricate description of how to satisfy the deity. There is a path, Pancharatrika Vidhi Marg, it is a path, described by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And now in ISKCON we have this book which has been revised called the Pancharatrika Pradeep, the revised edition will come out soon, hopefully. So that is our authority, how to satisfy the deity. We don't just think, Krishna would like this or Krishna would like that. No, we learn how to worship the deity through our spiritual master, who has learned to worship the deity through his spiritual master. That is the system. So, is that okay? Any other question or comment?
One comment. When Srila Prabhupada inaugurated the deity of Radha Gopina in Sydney, he said, "I give you this to Mrecha. Please make them pure."
Any other question or comment? Yep.
So we can understand that we've been reading from the summary description of the Mahapurush, there's a form, the universal form of the world, and we describe so that we can meditate on that. Would you give us a practical application, meditation on form, engaging deep worship?
Yeah, in our line, we don't meditate on the universal form. Prabhupada describes in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, where the universal form is described, Prabhupada says it's not for devotees, it's for neophyte transcendentalists who are coming like from an impersonal background, and it elevates their consciousness. There's one lecture where Prabhupada says, one of the reasons why the devotees don't worship the universal form is because you can't make a garland big enough. It's not practical. So devotees are not attracted to worshipping the universal form. Like that. I mean, how do you make a garland? Yeah, it means there has to be interplanetary cooperation between everyone in the universe. And by the time you make the garland, then, God knows. So it's not practical. So therefore, we worship the Archa Vigraha.
It's also valid to meditate upon his paraphernalia, Krishna's paraphernalia, inside his temple, for instance. So if you're walking around chanting, but you keep your mind within the temple, within the paraphernalia that's connected to Krishna, is that also valid?
Yeah, because Prabhupada taught us that everything in Krishna's temple, everything which is used in Krishna's service, is an expansion of Krishna's energy. It is actually an expansion of Lord Balaram. So it should always be treated with the utmost respect. So to worship all the paraphernalia of Krishna, including this temple and all the paraphernalia, it is non-different from Krishna and it should be respected as much as Krishna. The very early days of ISKCON, one time one of Prabhupada's servants moved Prabhupada's typewriter with his foot, and Prabhupada made him pay his obeisances to the typewriter. Right. We never touch anything, any of Krishna's paraphernalia, with our feet. Yeah. So the mridanga is called the Balaram mridanga. Prabhupada, in ISKCON we call the mridanga is the Balaram mridanga. The Prabhupada said they are non-different from Lord Balaram. And Prabhupada instructed us not to keep them on the floor. So you see, that's why we have the stands. So even like these two mridangas and this mridanga are on these mats. Prabhupada actually instructed us not even to keep them like that, but to keep them on the proper stands. That's why we have the stands there. They should be elevated and respected.
Also, with the older of the Prabhupada's older, what about the people coming in and put their bags or their clothes up on the solid here and stuff? Is that proper?
I mean, you can't really leave your bags outside the temple room all the time because things get taken. But yeah, I mean, at least keep your stuff near you. But we should not clutter the temple too much. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.